to Derek and your report, the Safeguarding Children's Board. Quite a lengthy report, very comprehensive, as usual. I know that my members have one or two things to ask about, but if you want to start off and give an overview or make any comments on what we have been submitted.
Thank you, Jim. I will be brief. Thank you. The report is there. I'm working on the assumption that members would have had the opportunity to have read it. A couple of highlights, if I may. It gives background there as to the rationale behind the Safeguarding Children's Board, as we were at the time of this report. We're now the Isle of Wight Safeguarding Children's Partnership as of September. That's elevated the status in terms of the three statutory partners, the local authority, the constabulary, and health in the form of the CCG. I mention that now, albeit, as I say, this is a report covering the year to the 31st of March 2019. Safeguarding Children's Boards set up under Section 14 of the Children's Act 2004, the purpose being to coordinate safeguarding activity in a locality to promote the well-being of young people and to seek assurance as to the effectiveness of safeguarding in an area. And if I may, my final remarks in a couple of minutes will be a statement as to where I believe, as the independent chair of the partnership, safeguarding is on the Isle of Wight. Two key principles that underpin safeguarding here. The fact that safeguarding is everyone's responsibility, not just that of the people who attend the meetings. Everyone's, every practitioner, be they police officers, teachers, social workers, voluntary sector, whoever. It is all of our responsibilities. And we try and make sure we have a child-centred approach here in terms of safeguarding, trying to make sure we hear the voice of the child and we understand the lived experience of children and young people on the Isle of Wight. You'll find also in the report details of our subgroups. I mention that because I believe the Isle of Wight has a very effective coverage through those subgroups, in particular the health and education subgroups, the workforce development group, the learning and inquiry group, chaired by Stuart, which is where we consider things such as serious case reviews, now titled Child Safeguarding Practice Reviews, essentially the same thing. And the Missing, Exploited and Trafficked group, led by the constabulary, which is the latest iteration of something that began with child sexual exploitation 3-4 years ago, is now a broader agenda around exploitation. Set here in November of 2019, that particular agenda is broadening still further, the phraseology being contextual safeguarding. Look at the risks that young people are exposed to outside of the household. So it's the missing, exploited, trafficked agenda, and more still. It is complementary to the focus of safeguarding in the household. The budget is mentioned in there. I don't intend to go through that. I would, I'm sure, for members' benefit, what you want me to mention, the fact that the Ofsted inspection is mentioned in the report. I've been lucky enough to be in post since December of 2016. The relationship with Hampshire was already well established by the time I started, but I've seen, I think, a process of continual improvement over those last 3 years, and that was recognised by Ofsted when they landed. Strong leadership team. I do this role in different parts of the country, and fundamental to anywhere to have an effective partnership and effective children's social care is that strong leadership, and you have that here on the Isle of Wight with local colleagues and colleagues from Hampshire. I believe the services provided to our looked after children, our children in need, are very, very good. And I have to say this at the risk of embarrassing Councillor Brading, I do believe the Corporate Parenting Board here is something that you should celebrate. It is something that I don't see with the same effectiveness in other parts of the country where I may work. So it is something that is very good here. You'll also see in the report there how the Safeguarding Children's Partnership links to the Health and Wellbeing Board, Domestic Abuse Forum, the Safeguarding Adults Board. In there you'll also see information about single agency partner activity and how we come together as the wider partnership. I can give you assurance that the sort of issues that we discuss as a partnership are consistent with the issues that we see in other parts of the country. I mentioned missing, exploited and trafficked, the early help agenda, the family approach, where we look at the we've got children in front of us, we think of the adults in the family, and there are adults in front of us, we think of the children in the family. That's a particularly positive step forward. Focus on neglect, focus on elective home education, children missing education, focus on mental health, and I appreciate you're going to be hearing from Catherine in due course, but by way of an introduction to that, I see things moving forward. Certainly the work that's been done over the last year, 18 months around the autism spectrum disorder, again, Councillor Brading's a big party to the conversations along with the colleagues we've had on the board. And something else I think is particularly positive in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight is the work that's been done around abusive head trauma in young children and the ICON programme. I don't know if colleagues are aware of the ICON programme, an initiative to spread the message, spread awareness of the dangers of what in old parlance was shaken baby syndrome, abusive head trauma. Very innovative approach, and one that I think Hampshire and the Isle of Wight are leading on nationally and setting a high standard for colleagues elsewhere to follow. You'll see in there the priorities that we had for last year. I mentioned the family approach. There was a lot of work done around online safety for children and young people. There was a conference which attended by some 300 people from around the island at the Yacht Club, which was particularly positive. A series of workshops, the involvement of theatre groups in spreading the message to children and young people. And again, I'm not sure how many colleagues are aware, an initiative called Lurking Trolls, led by colleagues in Portsmouth. It's around spreading the message to Key Stage 2 children about the risks that they may face online. We also spent significant amounts of time last year making sure we were ready for the new arrangements from September. There were no serious case reviews commissioned in 2018-19, but we continued to do work embedding the learning from earlier reviews. You'll see information there about the new child death overview arrangements, which is now moving to a pan-Hampshire arrangement. There's details in there around the audits. One thing I just want to mention, very positive approach locally around engagement with language schools. Again, not something you see elsewhere, so something to be recognised here. There is a training programme on the island, which I believe through the board is comprehensive and well regarded. There's information about the priorities that we're working to this year. And as promised, my view of where the partnership is, it's a strong partnership. It remains children's focused. Children's social care from the local authority is front and centre to that partnership. And as I said before, I believe that element, because that's what you're interested in here, is the local authority. The children's social care here is well led, and we're seeing continuous improvements as endorsed by Ofsted earlier in the year. Happy to take any questions you may have.
Yeah. If I may start with the first one before I open it up to the committee. I want to understand what the difference is between what we have now just finished with and what is coming in as a partnership. I understand the three main characters, if you like. Is it partnership or is it partnership board? Wasn't, you know, just to get that. And let me read my notes. Resources. Is there any... the actual resourcing of it, is there any difference? And thirdly, how will it strengthen existing arrangements? I mean, what will the board do, or the new partnership do, that you aren't already doing?
Without going into lots and lots of detail about the history of this, going back 2 or 3 years, there was a national review of local safeguarding board arrangements, which followed a period where many were regarded as inadequate through Ofsted inspections. Personal view, a bit of an overreaction. I don't think that we needed to make as much change nationally as was required by the Department of Education. A phrase I'd heard in some parts of the country was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It wasn't broken here. So the changes are incremental. I think it's an evolution rather than a revolutionary process. There is now perhaps more of a statutory focus on the three, police, health and the local authority. There was, I believe, an effective partnership when I came in. I'd like to think we've made it even better. I think there is a culture of humility here. I'm going to embarrass Steve at the moment. I mentioned this in a meeting earlier on. I landed in December 2016. My first board meeting was when the CQC told the Trust about their particular issues, and the reaction of the board, the partnership, was how do we help? It was a lesson for me in humility. It wasn't a case of leaving one partner out there on their own. It was a case of us coming together. And I thought that was an exemplar on how partnerships should work, the ethos that sits behind them. So in answer to your question, the resources now, the DfE required there to be an equitable approach to resourcing. That's not the same as equal, they tell us. We could argue for hours what equitable and equal may mean. We have not asked for an increase in resources over recent years, and there are no plans to ask for an increase in resources now. We have enough to provide an effective safeguarding partnership on the island.
Thank you. Right, the rest of the committee would... Right, John, would you like to start? Councillor Howe?
Thank you, Chairman. I have three questions. One is, the list of members, how often do you meet?
Quarterly, sir.
Quarterly, right. And do we know what your attendance rate is on all these? It's a wonderful list of people that are supposed to attend this meeting.
Yes.
Is there any chance that we could see to find out how many of them, how many times they actually attend? Have I missed it?
You're on page 4, sir.
Page 4?
Yes.
Right, okay. The third thing I wanted to ask was something I was chasing years ago, was to do with language students coming to the Isle of Wight. We noticed that, I mean, if you're a taxi driver, you're a bus driver, you deal with children, you deal with elderly, you need to have a check. We found out that a number of parents or adults that were taking these language students into their house for a period of time were never checked, right? And everybody else gets checked. Even if you go into a nursery and help out some of the time, you still have to have a check. But these parents, these families were never checked. So if you've got a child, say 15, going into a house where the family haven't been checked, where we don't know what the background is, where maybe they can't speak the language and everything else, they're very vulnerable. So is it possible that you could tell me whether we now put pressure on these organisations who bring these children over to this country to learn the language, etc., etc., before they're put into a family, the family are checked?
Okay. I'm sure at some stage Stephen, Stuart or Cathy will come in on this as well. Certainly in terms of engagement with the language schools, the work that's been done through Jane Lee from the board is, I think, setting the pace for that. We require schools every year to return a self-assurance audit. There isn't the same requirement of language schools, but it's done here on the island. So we have a better insight into the language schools over the last year or so than we ever did before. Now, in terms of schools, is this the 28-day?
Yes, so after anything under 28 days doesn't count in terms of children's social care, but after 28 days it's classed as private fostering. We then undertake an assessment and check the suitability of the placement. As Derek said, we've got much, much better engagement with the language schools now. They know how to refer, they understand the regulations. I can't, of course, take responsibility that they are abiding by all the regulations, but as far as the checks that we can make, they appear to be.
So on page 17, Councillor Howe, it's under the section that's called Children in Private Fostering. That's the bit of the law which relates to this. It's called, although they're language schools, the law that requires checks to be made is called the Private Fostering Regulations. What you'll see from that is that during 2018-19, 12 notifications were made to us about children that were in private fostering arrangements, and 10 of those were language school students. So that indicates that, and I know there are a lot more students, but that doesn't... they don't meet the target. But what we are seeing is that the schools are making referrals.
I see it as us, as I sit on a fostering panel, and before somebody actually is allowed to foster a child, they have to go through all these checks. And yet somebody can take on a child from abroad with no checks. I mean, you say it's legal, right? Well, I have to accept your word that it's legal. They can't do it in fostering, but they could do it. And all we need, we had one before where a child was murdered a few years ago. And I would have thought that we would want to get these families checked before, and not just accept that somebody who is being getting paid to do it was saying it's fine, it's not a problem, because that's what they said before, but it wasn't. And what we don't want is to see these children coming here and going into families, and we don't know what the background is, and we don't know whether they've been checked. And I just think that all of a sudden, if a child gets attacked or assaulted, then everybody panics and everybody blames everybody else for it. And at the end of the day, we're saying, well, we should do something about it. I would like to be in a position to say, we do something. We did write to the government and everything else to say that anybody taking a child in from abroad on a language course, no matter how many days it is, should be responsible, because it doesn't need 21 days to assault a child.
It can
happen on the first day. All I'm asking is that I believe that these families, before they're allowed to take a child under their roof, that they be checked.
I'll just come back on that, because the government and the state says that 28 days is the point at which it tips over. Now, you can argue the wrongs are right with that, but that's what the law is. But it's also worth thinking about that as parents. This rule applies to us as parents as well. So if we were to say our child goes to stay with our friend for 2 weeks, would we want the government to insist that our friend is CRB checked? We might do. That's a decision for government. It's not one that we make locally. It's the same rules apply to private individuals as to organisations. 28 days is where the limit is.
So are you doing a comparison, just to check, are you doing a comparison with somebody that's maybe sending a child to a relative to stay with them, sending somebody from another country who has no idea who they're staying with?
I'm not making a comparison. I'm saying that that's what the law is.
Well, are you saying the government are making
No, hold on, John. I don't think we're going to progress this any further. I understand what you're saying. In fact, the language schools should be statutorily forced to do TRB checks, but they're not at the moment, are they?
No, exactly. That's
no,
right. Yeah.
And
that's
I'm afraid we're not
that's
going
right.
to progress this any further.
Just wait for something to happen and then we'll discuss it.
Well, I mean, people do their best, but as I said, at this stage, there is nothing that we, as a committee, can do about this or to take it any further.
We've written to the government in the past about the issue of language schools.
Sorry?
We've written to the government in the past.
You have. I'm sure you have, because it has been raised in the past. Yeah.
Maybe we could ask them finally, Chairman, that we get support on this matter by the safeguarding.
Yeah. By the partnership,
yeah.
Which is what you're there for.
I think the point is well made around being proactive rather than reactive.
Thank you.
Yeah. I agree. Right, thank you.
I'm done.
Well done, John.
Thank you.
Sean.
Across the board, this probably affects everyone. There's talk on the island, we've been to briefing meetings, that the numbers of children on the island are reducing. Do you feel that your resources are going to be cut? You know, you say you haven't asked for extra, there's no extra, but numbers are going down on the island with children.
Well, that's an interesting take on things. I hadn't thought of that, I have to be honest. I'd like to think they wouldn't be.
There's not many meetings saying the numbers are reducing.
I think there may well be a reducing number of children. I think some of the pressures on the agencies continue to grow. Colleagues to our left will have a better view on the pressures that they experience in terms of children with more complex needs, whatever it may be. I've seen nothing but commitment from the partners who put resources into the board. So it's no surprise to you, I'm not going to go to them. No, I really want to give less.
No.
Yeah. Have we any other?
Yeah,
yes.
Just to talk about resources.
Councillor Cameron.
Burley House is quite overrun. The budget is overstretched by some £83,000. Is there any particular reason for that, or is it
in the budget report?
Yes, I mean, certainly Cathy will join in if I've not got hold of the detail, but my understanding, of course, we have to have staff in situ.
Yeah.
If staff go off sick, a good example is if someone comes down with a sickness bug, a member of staff, they can't come in for a number of days, because the last thing we want to do is spread any infection to vulnerable children.
Yeah.
We have to replace that member of staff, so we have to use casuals, and on occasions agency staff, because we have to have a minimum staffing level 365 days of the year, and that's where the pressure comes from.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I just have one more question. On page C9, we talk about a safe haven on the Isle of Wight. Is this up and running? Is it 24 hours? And where is it?
So this is the piloted children and young people safe haven online, which is called Space for You.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, very small pilot, and it's based on what we feel are the needs for children and young people, based on their attendance to ED. So at the moment it's only open 2 evenings a week, and that's purely down to where we've looked at when children are saying that they'd like some help. If it's successful, and so far it has been really successful since October, we've had a number of attendances, we'd absolutely like to explore continuing it on the island.
In which case, how will it be funded?
We'll have to have a look at that. At the moment it's funded through NHS winter pressures money, so to reduce attendance as an A&E. When we look at the CCD finances and we look at the effectiveness of mental health services on children and young people, we'll compare the funding arrangements that we have for that.
Is this something that you could share with another partner, like the Salvation Army, for example?
I don't see why not. I think that's a really good idea and something that we can look to explore. We commissioned the Isle of Wight Youth Trust to do our Tier 2 counselling services. They are looking at expanding their services into developing a drop-in service for children and young people, similar to that of the Safe Haven. Now, they are a charitable organisation who are very, very good at raising funds that way, so it could be that we look for something like that. I think it's a really good idea.
Right, thank you.
May I just make a note of the chair? In fact, actually, Safe Spaces was discussed this morning at the CCG meeting at Northwood, in terms of what was happening on the mainland, and it did sound very, very positive. So I just wanted to say that that's something that I think that we should seriously look at and invest into. It's the right kind of project clearly from what I heard this morning. So I'm so pleased to hear that we're doing that.
Have you gone on to the next?
No, you have.
I have. Oh, right. I'm with you. Yep, right. Any other? Right, okay. In which case, thank you. You're very welcome to stay.
I should imagine he's not to go home.
It only starts appearing at a similar function in Worcestershire tomorrow.
So right.